My scripture reading is in Genesis 11 and starting with the 31st verse. Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan. And they went as far as Haran and settled there. The days of Terah was 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who curse you. I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. If you would, bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, this special Sabbath. Thank you for each one that's here, and we ask your blessings on them and their loved ones. And Heavenly Father, bless the remainder of this service, and let it be understood and of help to the ones as you would have. In the name of Yeshua, we ask all these things, and amen. The title of my message to you today is A Friend of God. A Friend of Yahweh. That seems so incredible that it's so hard to imagine. And yet it happened. And it happens today. And we want to look at some scriptures about these. So we had our scripture reading. And I'd like to go back to my text, Genesis 12, 2 and 3, and let's look at that again. "And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." And isn't that something that Yahweh says this to Abram? And it really is something to think about, but it reads, "And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." But as I've said many times, and I've had a message on this, of the two little words in the Bible that are so important because they are qualifiers, and that is the little word "if" and the little word "but." And if you will think back on scriptures that you have read, you'll see how important they are. Because it states things that will be or will not be if. And those words say if I will bless, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. I'm not seeing the word "if," but you get the point. There has to be families blessed in all the earth if they bless you as being God's people? And if you're not one that curses or belittles or degrades one of God's people, if you are, then the qualifier is you won't be blessed. One of the most highly revered people in God's Word and comes about early on the scene is the man Abraham. And modern Arabs, descendants of Abraham's son Ishmael, they venerate him, hold him in high esteem. They multiplied many millions of Muslims in the world hold him in high honor as one of Allah's greatest prophets. The Jews look upon him in great reverence as the founder of their religion, and Christians around the world recognize him as the father of the faithful. Abraham receives universal recognition. Do you know how many times Abraham is called the friend of God in the Bible? And that's my title of my message to you today, is a friend of God, because Abraham is referred to that. And it's three times. And in two of these passages, the speaker is God. Can anyone surpass that title given by God to Abraham? A friend of God. Would you like to be a friend of God? Isn't that something incredible that a human being could be referred to as and given that title by Almighty God, is a friend of God? Would you like to know that God is your dear friend? It's a possibility for each one of us, because we can be a friend of God. One could define the mission of Yeshua in terms of making it possible for us to become the sons of God. And if we were in the family of God and considered as sons and daughters to God, then how could we not be also His friend? We can be in the family of God. We can be a friend of God, because we can be in the family of God. It's a great source of joy to have the assurance that we are children of God. The Apostle John marveled at the great truth with these words in 1 John 3, 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And the Apostle Paul took great pride and joy in being a servant of God, a servant of Yeshua. And he even clarified it even more by referring to himself as a bond servant of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Paul describes himself as such. And Yeshua said to his disciples in these words in John 15, 14 through 15, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father..." Did Jesus listen to his Father? Did Jesus say anything that his Father did not believe also, and that he did not hear from his Father? The commands, did he not hear them from his Father? Yes. "And you are my friends if you do the things that I command you to. All that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." Jesus referred to his disciples by the title friend. And we know from other verses that God is a God of love, mercy, compassion, and we know that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, tomorrow, the future. We believe that he is, then it's possible for us to believe also that we can be his friends. True friends always have a few things in common: mutual respect, confidence. You have confidence in your friend that they're going to react the way you think they're going to react, that they would respond like a true friend should in different circumstances. Love. A continuing desire to live and work for the other's welfare. Your love, the act, the action part of love, that you love a person enough to want the best for them and to do whatever you can to make life for them better. Mutual respect, confidence, and love, a continuing desire to live and work in regard to the betterment of others. Such was the relationship of Abraham to God, and such can be your joy and delight today. In this friendship that we're talking about, let's look at some major points of it. God took the initiative in this friendship. And you know, when I think about God taking the initiative, I think about the parable of the prodigal son, where the prodigal son leaves the loving father. And when he finally comes to his senses and realizes that his state was much worse than it was without the father, then he comes to his senses and goes home to the father. And what is the father's response? Not rejection, but welcome. And I see the father as having his arms stretched out as the son comes back to him, welcoming him home, already forgiven. God took the initiative in this friendship, and this is always the case. God comes to us first. We seek God because we are being sought by God. No reference is made to Abraham putting forth a great deal of effort to find God. God found Abraham and was revealed his purpose of grace and redemption. Abraham lived in what is, I think, now known as Iraq, in Ur of the Chaldees. Isn't that itself interesting? That after thousands of years, we find ourselves being very familiar with a country that we may have never hardly even heard of or heard mentioned of, and yet here we are at this point in time, and we're basically back to where it all started. Abraham was called out of his country, in which evidently he had been born and raised, all he knew, familiarity. He was called out by God. And God told him that he had a place, he had a land for him, he had a blessing for him. And he wanted him to make the decision to come out. Come out. Go forth from your friends and from your even your father and your mother, your brothers and your sisters. And go to where I have a home for you and a blessing for you. The God of glory appeared and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come to the land which I will show you, in Acts 2, 7, 2 and 3. And this was the first of many experiences in which God came to Abraham and communicated with him. Nothing is said about the manner in which God appeared to or communicated with Abraham. And so it intrigues you to wonder, you know, was it that he heard a voice? Audible voice? A voice which came to him in his conscious thinking and his very spiritual being? Perhaps it was just like God communicates with us today. But Abraham had limitations that we do not have. He had no Bible out of which he could read and get instruction and get fed. He had no church whose fellowship inspired him to listen to the voice of God. Still, he was able to experience God's presence. He was able to recognize the voice and respond to the will of his Creator. The God who appeared to Abraham and communicated with him still speaks today, and he seeks to establish an enriching friendship with those who would but make their decisions for him and trust him in the events of their life. He speaks to us perhaps through our conscience, impressions in our spiritual being, perhaps in an audible voice. I've heard people say, my mother, I believe, said that God had at times spoke to her in an audible voice. And I believe it. It's what my mother said. And I know my mother pretty well. So if she says it, I believe it. But we know whatever he did in the past, he can do now. It wasn't just for thousands of years ago that certain things was done or he acted in a certain way or responded in a certain manner. That's the same God that we serve today, the same God that came to Abraham, and Abraham became his friend. That's the same God that should be just as meaningful to us as it was to Abraham. They had an enriching fellowship. And all those that are willing to listen to the voice of God when He calls can have an enrichment in their life. He seeks people, perhaps through your Sabbath school teachers, your pastors, perhaps your very best friends, and maybe even your next door neighbors. That would be wonderful to have a next door neighbor to share how good God is. Yeshua came to our world to establish a personal and permanent friendship with those who are willing to walk in faith and put their trust in Him and cooperate with Him. God took the initiative in calling Abraham and in the result of Abraham being his friend. He took the initiative. It was something in Abraham, the spiritual part of him, that God spoke to. And Abraham recognized the voice clearly. We don't know all of the circumstances that was involved in that. But it could have been just like He calls people today. How is your call to Yeshua and to Yahweh? I like to think that it's just an inner voice, something deep, deep in your mind and your heart that just lets you know that there's got to be something more than we experience in this life. God brought us into this world and He has a plan for us. He has gifts for us. And most of those gifts are free. All you got to do is say, I want this in my heart and life. And open your mind and heart to Him. Secondly, this friendship was one of mutual faith. James had this to say about God's friend. Abraham believed God, and this is in James 2 and 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Paul had paid Abraham this tribute of praise in these words. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that, we're in Romans 4, 20 and 21, being fully persuaded that what He has promised, He was also able to perform. Abraham's faith in God was the source of his spiritual greatness, and over references are made to the promises of God to Abraham. And his response was always one of complete faith. Abraham took God at His word. He never doubted the truthfulness or the faithfulness of God, who was also his friend. Not only did Abraham trust God, But God also trusted Abraham. But you know, that didn't keep Abraham from being tested. There was some trials that Abraham was destined to go through. A true friend was Yahweh. Abraham did not even hesitate when he heard the command from God to offer up his promised son, Isaac, for whom he had waited so long. In fact, he was 100 years old when Isaac was born. And Sarah, for whatever reason, seemed so incredibly more impossible to us. Sarah was 90 when she had Isaac. That is really something. And as they neared the place of the sacrifice, when God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, and remember, that's a type of Yeshua being sacrificed as the only begotten Son of the Father, a type of the same sacrifice of the only begotten Son being willing to give his life and shed his blood for us. Abraham said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. And we will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham knew he was supposed to sacrifice his son. But Abraham has those words of confidence. "Stay here while we go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Genesis 22 and 5. And we read also in the chapter 11 and verse 19, Abraham believed that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. And this kind of faith will lead to a transforming spiritual experience today. Fourthly, and lastly, every friendship must be nurtured if it is to grow. The wise man said, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother," in Proverbs 18 and 24. Yeshua has come as the only begotten Son of God the Father, Yahweh. Come that we might know Yahweh as the friend that He is, and ours can be a wonderful and increasingly greater companionship and fellowship and ever-deepening experience as we grow in the Lord and trust in Him. There are several things that we can count on from Christ, and a Christ who wants to be our friend as well as our Lord and Savior. And that is that we need to move beyond becoming acquainted with Him only in conversion and the new birth or rebirth. We must become His friends in the fellowship of service. There's many things that friends do for us. And one, or first, is that we can count on them, we can count on Yahweh and Yeshua for advice. And how do we come to know that advice? Through His Holy Spirit that He freely gives. It leads, it comforts, it guides, it directs, it reminds. Great things as a result of being friends with Almighty God. This is usually always expected of friends, that they can come to us for advice, both giving and receiving, because that's what friends do. Even if we do not take the advice of a friend, we are helped by it. And again, we can depend on a true friend to defend us against any and all who would come against us, accuse us. Paul rejoiced over the fact that no one could bring an accusation against the redeemed of God as to imperil their relationship to God. And he says in Romans 8:33 and 30 that he knows that there is nothing in the past, present, or future, that nothing or no thing that would ever be able to separate us from the love of God. Isn't that wonderful to think of when we breathe our last breath? Yeshua himself said, death is not all. It doesn't end as death. We cannot be separated from the love of Yahweh and Yeshua. They will go and be with us through all events of our life, even including death and beyond. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Another wonderful benefit of this friendship is that Yahweh will both rebuke and correct us if we drift away from the will of God in our lives. And these words in Proverbs 27 and 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. That's in Proverbs 27 and 6. We must remember that Jesus considered Peter a good friend. But remember how unpredictable that Peter was and impulsive in his reactions and the events that occurred when he was with Jesus on this earth. But he was a good friend of Jesus. And yet he rebuked Peter more often than any other of the disciples. And this is one of the most hard duties of a genuine friend, to rebuke, to correct, to remind in certain situations. Human nature does not welcome reproof or correction. All of us needs at least a few real good friends. Friends with whom we have love, share love, and share faith to the extent that we could receive even the most painful of personal rebukes from them. Do you have a friend like that? That you could depend on? That even if their words to us are in the form of correction or reproof, perhaps rebuking, that we still have them as friends and they us. Last, we can expect our friend from heaven to show his appreciation for the qualities of mind and spirit and actions of heart or hand that are commendable. Do you remember in Revelation the letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor? The Lord walked in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, but he saw things to commend as well as some things that deserved condemnation. And one of the prime things there is that you lost your first love. You drifted or are drifting away from the love of the Father and of His loving Son that shed His blood for that perfect sacrifice that you can count on to be an acceptable sacrifice once and for all that washes away your sins and makes you righteous and acceptable in the Father's sight. If you don't know Yeshua as your personal Savior, then it's impossible for you to know Him as your personal friend. Become acquainted with Him through repentance and faith and a growing experience of being born again, the rebirth. In your mind and heart, turn from a life of faithlessness and rebellion and begin to trust Yahweh for forgiveness and the gift of new life. If you know Him as Savior, you can also know Him as friend. Obey His will for your life completely as it is revealed to you through His Word, through prayer, through worship. You, like Abraham, can be called a friend of God. How wonderful that would be. How wonderful it is. Trust Yeshua and Yahweh. Father, Son, friends. If you would stand with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this blessed day. We thank You for the message that You inspired to be brought to us. And Heavenly Father, let us take heed to it. And let us want to do those things necessary to become truly a friend of Yours. And Heavenly Father, bless us in the days to come. Bless all the ones here and their loved ones. And Heavenly Father, ever keep us on that path that leads to You. In the name of Yeshua we ask, and amen.
Amen.
And everybody remember, we'll say our blessing, but everybody remember to come and eat. Let's say this blessing together right now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. I believe I'd like to ask Bob.